doesn't.
And I would giggle. I wouldn't even know what to say to him.
Almost live from a very cool corner of Midtown Sacramento, it's the Nate Darling Show. Featuring Mel Gelbart.
I'm horny, grab some lube and do it.
And Larry Mead.
I'm so butch.
Now, from one end of his cheap IKEA couch,
the only thing you can do by talking is ruin it.
Here's Nate.
All right, and welcome back to another episode of the Nate Darling Show. That, my friends, is the last time you will hear that open to this show.
Oh, it's sad.
Memory!
Like the corners of my mind.
This is the last episode that will feature, as primary players, the three of us, the original cast of the Nate Darling Show.
The original OGs.
The original OGs. It's
the times they are a changing.
Yeah, and again, for anybody who's missed out on the whole thing, there has not been a fight. There has not been a falling out. There has not
Fuck
been
you, there has been a fight.
Yeah, between you and Kareem last week, Jesus. Thought you guys were gonna throw down.
So this is the last chance for people to get on Amazon.com and order me a really nice birthday present.
No, we can do it. I mean, And like I said, this is the last regular one. Mel is going to be back in a couple of weeks to sit in because my cat just sneezed. I heard it in the background. It was strange.
That was me.
Was it?
I was trying to get your cats to fight.
I think it was.
They're
half.
Staring at each other.
Oh, they will.
They might start doing it.
Cat stare down. They're not.
Is that what they do? Does cats just stare at each other?
Yeah, sometimes.
Oh, fuck.
And then they fight. They jump on each other. They play. It's cat fighting. That's what happens. Announcement, we have, actually, everybody has been replaced.
Our seats aren't even warm.
You've both been replaced.
Wow, that took no time.
Am I being replaced by Christiana or Ted?
I'm going to do it via gender and not religion. So you are being replaced by Ted. I could do it either way, because if I did it by religion, then Ted would be replacing Mel, Jew for Jew.
Catholic for Catholic.
Catholic for Catholic.
Oh.
But I'm going to do boy, girl, boy, girl. And go that way. So,
is the girl going to be sitting by you still?
Yes, because I'm not going to sit on a couch with a dude. That's way too gay.
Because you're going to be when you go to the movies with Ted. Will you sit next to each other, or you have a seat in between the two of you?
We're going to sit next to each other. Otherwise, you can't do the popcorn trick properly. That's kind of how
what's the popcorn trick?
What, Mel? Do you know what the popcorn trick is at the movies?
Is that when you put your wiener in bottom and he reaches in for the popcorn and gets a handful of wiener?
Is that really a thing?
Yes, it is. It's really a thing. I've never done it, but it is really, in fact, a thing. So, yeah, it's starting up after the election. The new co-hosts of the Nate Darling Show will be Ted Sampson and Christiana Dominguez. Will be here. You'll get to know them, all of their wonderful intricacies and peccadillos, so to speak. The one thing I will say about both of them very funny, both of them very, very smart, too. So the IQ level of the show will not be dropping appreciably, which is hard because you guys are...
Thank you for not saying it's going up. I was thinking
it's definitely going up.
No, you guys are very smart.
I think the IQs are going up and the dirty talk will go down.
Well, you know what? I'm going to work on that. It's going to really be my job to sort of up the dirty talk. Because Christiana has a 2.5-year-old toddler.
Who's
now.
Adorable.
She has an adorable biracial toddler. She's
not biracial.
Sure, she's
British, half Californian.
Yeah, half British, half Californian. So she's got a 2.5-year-old toddler, and Ted is dating a vegan. So
yes,
you know,
he's looking for a crock pot.
Looking for a crock pot.
So if anyone knows of anyone with an extra crock pot.
Well, I think by the time anybody hears this show, the whole crock pot will be... And this was the funny part of that whole thing. It was a thing on Facebook. Christiana actually answered and explained that a slow cooker was to a crock pot as a tissue is to Kleenex. That crock pot is just a name brand as opposed to that. So that's the type of smart you can expect. But Christiana sat in before. She sat in for you once, and she was very funny.
They've both sat in.
Yeah, Ted sat in with Becca, and they've both been on the show. They've both been very funny.
It'll be a smooth transition.
I hope so. I really do. In the meantime, next week, unless he bails on me, in which case I will drive to the radio station where he now works and pee on his car door handles. Walt Gray, formerly of KCRA3, now of 96.9 The Eagle. He's the new morning show host at the Eagle now.
He is.
He started.
I listened.
And he and I are going to do a one-on-one interview. That'll get us through Election Day because Christian is huge into election stuff and canvassing. And
it's really important to canvass to get out the vote.
Yeah, and she's very much into that. So I wanted to get through that, and we would start fresh after that with that. So we'll talk to Walt Gray about all everything. I mean, we're both from New England. He's from the only state in New England that I've never visited, which is Rhode Island.
Rhode Island?
I've never been to Rhode Island. He's worked in Florida, Miami, Fort Myers. He's been in Sacramento since 1988, I believe, and just made the transition from TV to radio. So he's got a lot of stories, a lot of fun stories. So we'll be doing that coming up next week. So that's that. And I think that begs the question: now that you guys are going to have that extra night free, What exactly are you going to be doing with your free time, Mel? What's going to be going on with your free time?
Well, I'm just looking forward to the election to be done. Because once the election is over, Paul and I will both have a lot more free time because he works for a voting systems company. So I think I'm just going to have a lot more Paul time and gym time. You know, I don't get the workouts.
Who's Jim?
That's what he always says.
Some sort of odd three-way?
I like to go to the gym, and I have not, with the way my schedule has been lately, I don't get in the kind of workouts I'd like to, and so I'm hoping just that it will become a regular workout night and perhaps a sex night.
Hey now.
Yeah.
Is it going to be like a main Zumba night?
Well.
Main Zumba, which means she's going to go home and charge Paul for sex.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, that sounds
like
fun.
I'm just looking forward to... you know, not having to be anywhere, not having to drive anywhere, the gym I can walk to, and
can walk to your gym?
Yeah. Yeah, it's right across the street from my house, and it'll be really nice to just... Oh, my goodness. I think I just got unplugged.
Everything just got unplugged. Hef got hooked up in the headphones and unplugged everything. So
are we still recording?
We are still recording. It just unplugged
can't hear
headphones.
Anything.
Right. He just unplugged the headphones. So what we're going to do...
Plus, now I still do theater on Tuesday nights. It'll be nice to not have to rush to the theater.
Let's just stop this for a second.
It's not next week. Memphis is 2 weeks from now.
2 weeks.
So let me just stop the recording for a second, get everybody squared away, and we'll start again. There we go, and we're back.
I'm scared.
That was so weird.
I know, it was weird. My cat, Hef, got hooked up in our headphones and unplugged our headphone amplifier, so we couldn't hear anything. So we had to stop the show for a second, because if we can't hear what's going on, then nothing will be right with the world. So that's what you're doing with your Tuesday nights. Larry, what are you going to be doing with your free time now?
I have enrolled in a Master's of Public Administration program at the University of Texas, Austin. So I'll be flying to Austin every Tuesday. No. Nothing particularly. I have lots of things are on the horizon for January, February. I'm traveling out, actually. I'm going to a little less, like 3 weeks. I'm going to Key West. And then I'm going to New York City. Adam's never been to New York, so we're going for like 5 days.
You can visit the Plunger High School.
In December. Yeah, so...
Are you staying with people? Because New York's so expensive.
Well, we're going to stay in the city. We haven't figured out where yet, but it is expensive. But it's New York, and it's Christmas time, so you got to do it.
Yeah.
He's never been, so it's even like more awesome. Although, being a true Californian, he's like, I'm going to have to buy a winter coat.
I have one that I bet he could borrow, and it'll probably fit him.
He just bought one.
Oh, never mind.
That's good to keep in mind.
Yeah, it's always good to keep that in mind. Yeah, New York in December is usually pretty chilly.
A little chilly. But now, because I'm bringing Adam, it's turned into an event. So,
what it takes when you bring Adam anywhere? It's an event.
It's the first dude I've ever brought to meet some family. Ooh. So, I've come from a very large Irish family. So, there's now an event on Saturday where we're all meeting up. we're going to a German beer hall, and he'll meet people. So my cousins are meeting him before my parents do.
So let me ask you this, Larry.
Yeah.
Gay marriage is legal in New York State.
Woo!
Will there be bells a-tolling for the two of you? Any chance? Any shot?
I don't live in New York.
Doesn't matter. You don't have to live in New York to get married there.
No, I'd wait until it's actually recognized in my own home state.
Okay. I was just curious.
Wah, wah.
Well, I mean, if you
stranger
had
things have happened.
It's true. But I mean, if there were a couple that had been dating and were talking all wooingly like that and meeting parents and they were going to, say, Vegas, you would ask the same question. So,
true.
Very,
true.
Very progressive of me.
Yeah, my mom did say that I was infatuated with Adam. And I was like, what? And I was like, it just sounds really bad. She's like, no, it's a good thing. It's like you're really... You guys are really together. And I'm like, infatuated sounds like...
Yeah, that's not the right word.
Way.
I think the proper word would be smitten. You seem very smitten.
He is very nice.
And in love, even. I don't know.
Oh, yeah, I'd say. I'd agree. Yeah. We've been saying that.
I mean, that was one of the things, and we talked about that when we first announced that you guys were leaving the show, that a lot of things have changed. Both, I mean, yeah. When we started doing the show, I mean, you were single.
I was a confirmed bachelor.
Completely.
You were a player.
Yeah, you were Paul Lynde-like in your...
I was kind of playing...
In that, and Mel's boyfriend Paul at the time was living down in Turlock, and now he's living with her. So I mean, huge things have happened for you guys in your personal lives that have been fantastic. So, and I'm happy for both of you. I want you both to be really happy. So while I'm sad that I'm going to be losing the two of you on a regular basis, I mean, Larry and I are still in the improv group together. I'll see Mel all around, and we'll have you guys in on the show. So,
well, and we go to the group sex parties that we often go to.
Fisting so. Class, yeah. Fisting class at the end. Learning
speaking
annex.
Of Mel, you're supposed to bring the Crisco.
Oh, yeah.
For the next fisting class.
I know, I already got it.
Yeah. Eric, I'm a little sad you haven't written an email saying how sad you're going to be. if you're
that's
still
listening. That's because he's very angry with you.
Well, I don't... You know, I hope that people will continue to listen that might have listened originally because they knew you, Mel, or knew you, Larry, because the people that are coming on the show, the structure of the show is going to stay very similar. And, you know, you just got to give the new people a chance to see if you like them. If you like the show is not really going to change.
Except we won't talk about my vagina nearly as much.
No, but we will have all sorts of questions about childbirth that you cannot answer.
I could lie.
Well, like a my episiotomy.
My dad's a gynecologist.
It's true, but...
Is he still a gynecologist?
No, he's retired now. I have a friend...
Isn't that like being the president? Once you're the president, you're always the president?
Yeah.
You're
my
always
dad
a
knows
gynecologist.
All sorts of things about vaginas. He'll never forget.
He's forgotten...
He knows, yeah, exactly.
He's forgotten more about cooters than Larry will ever know.
Exactly. I had a friend that just had a baby, and they did not, for whatever stupid reason... do an episiotomy, and she ripped so severely.
Oh my God.
From vagina to anus.
Oh,
she can't have sex for 8 weeks and she's still healing, and she said it's kind of gross.
Understandably.
Yeah, but her baby's cute.
I had yeah, he better be. He would hate to go through all that and have an ugly baby,
right?
That's crazy.
I had a high school biology teacher whose wife the year I had to take biology in high school, he was our assistant principal too. His wife gave birth to their first child while we were taking the class with him. And he explained the episiotomy to the class. And this was one of the few times I've ever seen a group of girls cringe. Because normally you talk about stuff and guys cringe. This was one that every single girl in the class cringed because he explained that, well, they do the episiotomy so that you get a nice, even cut that's easy to stitch. It heals faster. There's no variable there, as opposed to
ripping makes a mess.
Otherwise it would tear. It's jagged. It doesn't even. So he proceeds to explain they have the scissors that they use to do the episiotomy, and they snip it, and this is where he lost them. He said, it sounds like cutting wet leather. And then he made the sound. And I will never forget that he made the sound. It sounds like cutting wet leather, you know. And every girl in the class shifted in her chair uncomfortably when that happened.
So I have two stories related to this. One is I had surgery a couple years ago on the top of my head. So it wasn't like in my head because everyone's like, oh my God, you had brain surgery? No, it was on my head. But the noise level when someone's cutting on your head, the noise in your head is unreal. And it was just like this... I could hear it and I could feel the pulling and the tugging and the cutting, and it was so nauseating.
It was local?
Yeah, it was in the doctor's office, but I could feel the cutting and the ripping and the pulling even though it was numb, and I could hear it. It was so gross. The other thing is when I was in high school, even though I went to a public school, it was a really progressive, wealthy school. And so when you did like advanced anatomy biology senior year, if you got into the special class, they did gross anatomy lab. So we would have cadavers.
Hey now.
And I still remember the two times that people freaked out. The first time was when we walked into the lab and there was a girl at the sink washing a leg. Just washing a leg. And people like just walked in and then turned around and just walked back out because she was just like cradling this leg and washing it.
Ew! Ew!
But when we did the reproductive system, they cut the penis long ways so you could look inside both sides, like cutting a hot dog long ways, not like across, but all the way down. And guys were like vomiting and walking out.
Yeah, that's not a good thing to have happen.
Yeah, bisecting a penis. I got to do a heart like that so I could see all four chambers. That was pretty neat.
Yeah, they have diagrams for that. I don't need to do that
I
anymore.
Got to hold it in my hand.
The heart or the penis?
Both.
Was that the first time you held a penis, Mel? An actual
because outside your social studies teacher.
Right, because you talked about the first time you touched a penis last show. I was just curious if that was a living penis or if the dead penis came first.
No, I touched the penis in the 80s jeans first. Okay. I think the first time I ever actually like cradled a whole penis in my hand may have really been in that gross anatomy lab.
What about the first time you cradled it in your mouth?
Much later.
Okay.
Much later, I think.
Cadaver or live?
Live.
Oh, okay, good.
I told you the first time I almost gave a blowjob. Haven't I told that story?
You have, yeah.
So that was that same year, but that never got into my mouth because I panicked and turned my head the last minute.
Right in the ear.
Right in the ear.
I do remember the story.
It's horrible.
You think we don't listen, but we do. So that's good. What will I be doing on my Tuesdays? Actually, I think we're going to be moving the recording night of the show to Mondays once we get everything settled in. So I'll be hanging out on Tuesday nights as well. So everyone's going to have their Tuesday nights free.
Oh, we can all get together.
We can all hang out. It'll be fun.
Perfect.
I'm sure we'll have an outing. We still haven't done that field trip that we were going to do to the
kink.com
to the armory in San Francisco.
I really want to do it.
I do too.
Now it's too cold.
We can do it for a reunion episode when we release the DVD of the making of the Nate Darling Show.
Bring Adam along. We'll It'll be an event.
Bonus footage.
We should do it though in spring when it gets a little warmer because the city's so cold right now and wet and yucky.
No, this is the nicest time of the year in San Francisco if it's not raining.
But it's raining almost all the time.
Well,
if we're going there, I'll go whenever. Just say when.
Yeah, well, and like I said, bring Adam. We'll make it an event. Because wherever Adam goes, it's an event, right?
It is.
Yeah.
He's quite tall.
You can have your family meet us there.
Maybe Paul will come. I'd love to see Paul at a porn place because he's so...
Oh, that'll be great. I'll be the fifth wheel. Hot. I'll be like a camper. I'll be a pop-up camper. I'll be the fifth wheel. Although you never know, my dating life might improve. Although it's not showing any signs of it recently.
You never know.
No, I mean, it's true. That's why you keep doing it. But this would have been last week now. I'm back on OkCupid because my self-esteem means nothing to me.
Aww.
And it's funny. And when you're on an online dating site, and Mel and I have had these conversations before, your experience is far worse than mine. Far worse.
Yeah.
The one story you told me, you can share it if you like, but the coffee house date that wasn't.
The one that stood me up?
The one that walked in the door.
Oh, and then walked back out?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the worst thing I've heard of somebody doing to somebody.
Took one look.
Yeah, that's not cool.
But I told you I also had the guy that I was on the date with and he asked the waitress out because he asked me first if it's cool because she's pretty hot. You don't mind, do you?
You're cool,
that's
right?
That's something that would happen in gay world.
Oh, my God.
Mel, you were in gay world for a second. I'd been chatting with this woman online and... through the OkCupid, and we met up last Monday. Went to the Fox and Goose on Monday night, which, by the way, empty as all hell.
Yeah,
there was nothing going on other than people coming in for an open mic night. And she was very nice. There was just zero chemistry. Like, it was one of the few people I've had a hard time carrying a conversation on with.
Oh.
You know, because normally I'm pretty effusive. I can talk and talk and talk. So I'm like doing stories and I'm talking about whatever. And then I ask her and then it's like, well, then this and this. And it was like it was almost like she was afraid to share something for fear that I would then turn it into a story. Or something. I have no idea what it was, but very nice. But it was just really, really obvious that there was no connection there at all. At all.
Did she get that? I mean, you haven't. She's not still like.
Oh, no. I mean,
sometimes that happens where you're like, I'm not into you, but then they're like, do you want to go out again? I had such a good time. You're like,
No.
At least one of my friends who I think actually might listen, so I'm not going to say, she's had very unique circumstances dating. One of my favorite stories of hers is that she was dating a guy and they went back to his house, like his apartment. And there was a woman waiting there who was his, it's still a little murky, wife, ex-wife, something. He told her that they were separated and the divorce was almost final. She started yelling at him and then he proceeded to have a heart attack. And so the ambulance came and I'm not believe. I'm like, oh my God. So recently she went on, someone went on a date and the guy was just like, once he got there, like it was just a little bit awkward. But I don't know where they were. They couldn't just leave. I don't know what they were doing. Maybe they went to, I don't remember. Anyway, he told her that he had a lot of canker sores in his mouth.
Oh,
and
no.
So he might not talk a lot. And I was like, that probably was one so that you didn't try kissing him. Or that, like, and she's just like, what do you say to that?
That's so gross.
What do you
just
say to
like,
that?
You know, I have a lot of canker sores, so I'm not talking about
you
it.
See, you come up with another excuse for those things. Yeah. You just don't say that unless you are just trying to fucking kill the date.
Yeah, what you do is you call them or text them and you go, I'm not feeling well tonight.
Yeah,
you just say, I bit the inside of my cheek, so I'm not talking. It hurts. You lie. And then you say, I would love to kiss you, but I have a little bit of a cold.
Right.
Whatever, you come up with normal excuses.
My doctor says I have SARS.
I would totally go down on you, but
I've lost my tongue in a farm accident.
I had a friend recently.
My tongue in a farm accident.
She got out of a long relationship and she reconnected with like an old boyfriend or something. I don't think she listens. If she does, sorry.
Well, no one's going to know who she is. I mean, she will, but nobody else will.
But she was telling the story, and it was sort of one of those where it was like that epitome of he's just not that into you,
right?
And so she's telling the story like. It made you think, like, she was sort of like, I don't understand. Like, we went out, we did this and this and this, and he didn't touch me, and he didn't want to talk to me, and he hasn't been returning my calls. That's weird, and I just keep calling him, and I think we're going to go out on Saturday, and I just want to go, like, why? I don't think I think he's over it.
Yeah, it's odd when that's the circumstance. Like I said, with mine, it was pretty evident, and, I mean, we did have a friendly hug goodbye. I was like, yeah, I had a good time. Nice to meet you. That was it. Yeah. It was nothing.
Can you please find her on Facebook and say you're in a relationship with her? Just to see how she'd react.
No, I don't even know her. I don't even know her last name.
She has to approve that anyway or it won't show
I know. That, but how funny would that be?
Yeah, it would be awesome. Yeah, I don't know her last name because normally when you're doing internet dating, you keep it to the first name until you decide that you actually want to see them more than once. Yeah.
When I was in DC and I wanted to find new friends, I went on Craigslist and I post a lot of things. Like I wanted to just hang out with some girls. And so I went on, like I went
casual encounters.
No, I went for women looking for men. I was like, hey, like I'm a gay dude. I want to have dinner with someone new, maybe do something fun after. Do you want to do it?
That's a great scam.
Literally the girls were like, yeah, come. First of all, I'd get like 85 responses in about 5 minutes. And I'd be like, fuck. And then sometimes with sex, people talk about how they're really lonely and I couldn't do anything. So girls, I'd be like, okay, do you want to meet up? Girl, like, yeah, do you want to come over to my apartment? Here's the code to come into my building. Like people just, their guard down, completely down. One girl and I, we actually still kind of talk, but we got drunk. I could literally have done anything I wanted. It was a little bit scary.
And you did because you didn't care for that.
No. But it was fun. I met new people that way. But it was really funny because it was really obvious to people that I think we're on, looked like a first date because it was like, oh, hi, how are you? But if you stared at us, I'm sure people were like, girl, that is not a right date. Because I'm me, and so it was really nice.
Yeah, it's, you know, whatever, but that's just really, really odd. But when you mention that, like, that's a hell of a scam if you want to pull that up.
Totally.
You know, because girl with low self-esteem converts guy to vagina. I mean,
love it.
It's a great story. It's a love story.
Yeah. Well, that's like It's Just Lunch supposedly pays people to go on dates with people.
Son of a bitch.
Because women pay a lot of money. They're guaranteed like 15 dates with guys will match their profile.
Oh, so dudes get paid to go out with chicks?
Yeah, because women pay.
Fuck that, I'm into
women
that.
Pay a lot of money for It's Just Lunch because it's all supposed to be higher caliber people than like Match.com. It's like $1,200, $1,500.
Good God!
So I know of people who they've been asked, like, "Hey, would?" And they're usually not from your hometown. Like,
oh, okay.
Here you'd maybe go to San Francisco or Reno, where I know people who have gotten offered money
or Chico
to go. Like, hey, we can, you know, sorry, this isn't really going to work out, but you appear enough to be a match so they can meet. Because they guarantee you'll have 12 dates within, I forget how long.
So it's a scam.
It has been.
That sucks. Yeah, that really does. Sad. Because, I mean, you reach a certain point where, I'm doing online dating because I don't go out to bars that much. And when I do, I don't like hitting on women. I just don't. Mm-hmm. Because I feel like I'm intruding.
Yeah.
You know, because, and you are. You really are. I mean, it's great if they're super into you, but if they're not, And I mean, you run the risk of, okay, they're polite or they're not polite, or, you know, and then you get these weird chicks who are like, because I know women who will go out to bars and they'll let guys buy them drinks all night. And I knew one person who would openly talk about how she let this guy buy her drinks, but then he insisted on talking to her, and she just didn't understand why.
Oh my God. When I used to get really frustrated, because, you know, I don't really drink or go to bars either, and so people would always say, like, oh, you know, it'll happen when you least expect it. You just got to get out there. I was in every goddamn club. I was in a hiking club.
That doesn't work.
An outdoors club. I was in a book group. I was in a cooking group. I was in, you know, I would go sit at the bookstore. I would go fucking loiter the grocery store, produce section, anywhere you would meet people. Every day I was out, all day, every day. I didn't meet fucking anybody. I had one girl.
Not that worked out.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Intramural sports. Go play kickball or volleyball. Or something, you'll meet people.
I did that. I did everything. I met a bunch of really nice women.
Yeah. where do you go to meet
there
these nice
really
women?
There really is a dramatic lack of availability. Like, I don't understand.
It's hard because you lose that whole thing. If you don't get together, like in school, when you're growing up, you're in school, you have school events, you have things like that that you go to. It's expected that you do that sort of stuff. And even into your 20s, especially if you're still in roughly the place where you went to college or something like that, it starts to make sense. Then you reach a point where you meet people through your friends.
Yeah.
And you sort of get reliant on them. But as you get a little bit older, their friends are getting married off, and you've got their friends all have kids or extreme emotional problems.
Yeah.
Which is the other thing.
I got lucky. You know, at the end of the day, Paul wound up being one of my dear friend's brothers.
Yeah.
And
there
it's
go.
Funny because the guy that I dated before Paul, I had done like a blog. And it was about a rant, this entry that he had seen was a rant about online dating and hating guys that can't write and are ignorant, and you go out with dates and they've got baggy pants and their hats on sideways, and how I make
you
too
dated,
old.
You dated hip-hop stars in the 1990s.
Yeah, like I ended up with these guys that were like too young and either too old or too young and nobody like that fit me. And so it was this whole thing about all my online dating kind of woes, and that I can't stand people to write, you know, hit me up or... You know, if you want to kick it. I'm like, no, I don't want to kick it. I'll never want to kick it with anybody. I don't kick it. I don't kick it. I'm too old and too Jewish to kick it.
Hi, Granny.
Right?
Granny, you need some sweet tea.
And this guy responded to that. And we wound up dating for like 9 months out of that. But he thought it was funny because he's like, I have the same problem. I can't meet nice people online that I feel like I can relate to because I feel like I'm older, but I'm not like an old person. But I'm not young enough to be dating hip-hop people that kick it. You know,
well, to be fair, some people will say things like kick it, try and sound hip, or they're joking.
It's such a turnoff to me.
Well, yeah, of course, because you're mm-hmm. what they call an old soul, Mel.
Yeah, it's that. And where I heard a lady say my biggest pet peeve, where you at?
where you at? Girl, where you at?
That drives
that's
me bananas.
That's an Ohio thing, I think.
Where you at? Where you at?
Yeah, that's not cool.
Where are you?
where you be at?
I like when people ask how Adam and I met. We talked online, well, on Scruff for like 5 or 6 months. And the real reason I asked him out was I was driving through Midtown and stopped at the like the 17th and L, mm-hmm. where Grocery Outlet is. And this really tall guy walked across holding a broom. I was like, he's nice. And then I ended up like we talked a lot, but we never really met, which is funny because he was so close. But finally, I decided to ask him out because I was talking to I've seen someone in Vegas, and then he was like, hey, come here. And it was Friday night. And I was like, I don't want to do that. I don't want to be in a relationship where all I do is leave every weekend. And so I texted him and was like, hey, do you want to go to lunch? And so just funny because we met online, but it literally took like 8 months for us to actually meet in person.
Have you ever had like, I had the a guy that I met online and he was perfect on paper and horrible in real life.
Oh yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
This guy was like, we had everything in common. He was so funny. He was so witty. He really got me. He appreciated my sense of humor. We knew all the same shows, all the same music. And then I met him and he was such a dork. I just wanted to kill myself.
Oh my.
He was the 40-year-old virgin. I've talked about that before, yeah. Right?
I've never had quite that experience. I've had the experience. It was really the last person that I met up with. We were chatting online. Everything was cool. And, you know, we obviously there are differences because I'm never going to meet anybody who matches up perfectly with me in terms of I like the exact same thing you do because I like a lot of weird and divergent stuff. I do. There are things that don't go together at all I like. And that's fine. You don't have to like everything I like. I'm cool with having some things that I like that you don't care about. And you should be cool with having things that you like that I think are stupid. Because that's what being people is you don't have to be a fucking clone of the person you're fucking. That's kind of weird to me. But so anyway, we online, we were typing back and forth. It was fine, whatever. We ended up talking on the phone the night before. And nice conversation back and forth, and then we meet in person and it didn't go anywhere. Not even the conversation. I mean, I've had dates where we've had like an hour of really good conversation back and forth where it's like, I'm not super into you, but I'm willing to see what would happen on a second date.
Yeah.
And of course, women decide within 10 minutes.
Went out with a 40-year-old virgin 3 times because I refused to accept that he couldn't be as amazing as he was on paper. The guy rebuilt muscle cars. He was covered in tattoos. He had to be cool. And then every time I met him, he was so uncomfortably goofy.
I once kept date. Okay, so I met a dude when I first moved to DC. I met a guy online. We went on a date, and he talked about how he had season tickets to the Redskins, and the guy he usually goes with, his friend, wasn't there. So he's like, "Oh, we should go." I'm like, "Okay." We actually talked about online, so we met, and I'm like, "Ugh, this guy's boring, like boring." But I was like, "I want to go on another date, so I'm going to pretend this is going really well because I want to go to a Redskins game."
I did that for Kings tickets when they used to be good.
Aww. And so then I kept through it, and then we did. It was weird, and it was so awkward. God, when you look back, you do things like, what the fuck? So, like, I was flying out that next weekend, or flying out that, like, it must have been Monday. So I'm flying out Monday morning, but I was like, yeah, I can totally go to the game, but I have to go to the airport. Could you drive me? So we went to the game, and then I didn't spend the night. Oh, because I was leaving, like, I don't know where I was going. I was leaving really early. So I'm like, we could go out maybe then, you know, you could just drop me off at the airport a little bit early. Because my flight was, like, at 4:55 a.m. So that's what you did.
Wow.
And it was so awkward. But I literally remember thinking, if I had to take a cab from where we work, hit my suitcase was in his car, to the airport, it was going to be, like, $85.
Oh, my God. I've done that, though. I dated a guy multiple dates to go to the Kings games when the Kings were good. And I also, my friend thought I was crazy. A guy posted on Craigslist, which is just like, rape
me. Ask you to be in a Lifetime movie.
Sure.
Like, rape me, right? He had tickets to a show in Reno.
And
I let this guy, like, pick me up and drive me to Reno, a total stranger, just for a free concert ticket and dinner.
Shady.
But, of course, it was really funny because having the job that I have, when he came to pick me up, I was like, I need your ID. And he's like, why? I was like, I need to write down all your information and your driver's license, and I'm going to call it in to one of my investigators so that if anything goes wrong, I'll have all your information. He's like, wow. Yeah, rape me. But he didn't. He was really nice. The only thing that was funny was when he showed up to pick me up, he comes walking up, and I open the door, and he's like, he literally went like, Jesus Christ, you look like you could be my daughter. People are going to think I'm a molester. We were the same age. He just looked way old, and I look young.
How was the date?
He was totally nice. There was no chemistry, but he was a total gentleman. The concert was great. Dinner was great. He was super nice.
Any sexy sex?
No. It was, yeah, no. We actually, we had talked about, he had said we could stay and he would pay for 2 rooms.
Oh, that's nice.
And I was like, that just seems silly. Like, we're not, like, it's a first date. I'm not going to have sex with you anyway. Don't waste money on hotel rooms. So we just went to, you know, saw the show, had dinner, saw the show, and then he brought me home.
That's hot.
Yeah, that's great.
My second date with, I've told you about Bruce Queen, the guy I dated in D.C., the gayest name ever, who we went on crazy dates. Our second date was going to New York City for the weekend. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
And so it was awesome. That was when I got to go on Broadway and perform because Avenue Q picks people and they pick me. But it was so weird. So we're at the Duplex, which is like a really famous show, tunes-ish place. It's where Jack always on Will and Grace performed. So we're watching this, like, act, and this guy looks at me, he's like, hey, you guys are a cute couple. He's like, I forget what he asked. He's like, oh, how long have you been going out? And I was like, actually, this is our second date. And first of all, he laughed. He's like, I did not expect that voice out of you. And I said, sorry. And then he said, well, where do you guys live? I said, Washington, D.C. And he was like, what are you, a bunch of lesbians? He's the guy that took me to Barbara Streisand, and so which those kids were insane. I don't even like Barbara Streisand. I have to whisper that because
you are a terrible gay.
Like, I mean, I like her, but I don't obsess over her. The tickets were like $850 each. I was freaking out. So all we were doing was kind of making fun. All it was like suburban old women and their husband who got it as an anniversary, Christmas, or Hanukkah gift, or older gay men and younger gay men who were clearly like a daddy boy thing.
Sure. Wasn't that you
and,
guys?
And I was just like, Bruce, look at us. Because I was like 23, 24, and he was like 38, 37, 38. And I look young, and he looked his age, maybe a little older. And so I was like,
you were his toy.
All of our dates were crazy because him and his partner broke up, but they always did shit. And so he wanted to keep doing stuff, but didn't have anything to do them with.
Yeah, that's terrible. I mean, that's really, it's really weird when you want to do stuff and you're single, yeah. And then you're like, because yeah. you run that whole thing like, well, what am I going to do? So like the Michael Mara Show podcast, they're doing a live show in Reno. Speaking of the devil, coming up in November 10th, and I was, you know, I was like, well, I want to go, but I'm not dating anybody, and none of my friends are into the Michael Mara Show, but I'm like, what? Nah, fuck it. It's like festival seating, whatever. And so I got one ticket, and I'm going to see the Mike O'Mara Show live in Reno at Circus Circus. And it was interesting because on Facebook, they're, you know, they have the group for going, and then somebody posted, hey, anybody in Sacramento want to meet up? And I was like, yeah, sure. And it was going to be a group of like five people, but it ended up being like three of us. And we had a nice little meetup at the Golden Bear.
Aww.
And, yeah.
The gayest non-gay bar ever.
Yeah. It doesn't even seem like a bar because it's got that front porch.
It's like a house.
Yeah. And so we're out there on the front porch. And while we're having this conversation, I can't make eye contact because there is this crazy looking homeless lady who bears a slight resemblance to Sharon Stone. A very tall, blonde, but really disheveled and crazy-eyed Sharon Stone.
That's
and this
hot.
And this woman at the Golden Bear's porch is, what, like a foot or two from the sidewalk?
Yeah.
Anyway, and she's tall, so her head is about the same level as these two women that I was there with. And I know at least Kate listens to the show because she sent me a note on Facebook saying, hey, I listened to your podcast. I really enjoyed it. So
Hi, Kate.
Hey, girl.
We're having this conversation about the Mike O'Mara podcast and all the stuff that goes on with that. And I can't make eye contact with them because this crazy lady is just pacing back and forth for like this 5 foot stretch, but she's giving the crazy eyed stare into the porch area. Like she's looking for something, but not. And then she would walk like up the ramp and around behind me and then into the place and then back out. Never said anything to anybody, never bothered anybody, but it was just really kind of creepy.
It's hot.
It was just really creepy. And I'm like, well, there may be somebody for everybody, but I don't want anybody like that.
So are you guys like carpooling to this thing?
You know what? Kate actually offered me a ride with her and her. Kate's a kick. You would love Kate, Mel. She's a little bit older than we are. And she has a boyfriend, not married, and they've been together for like 20 years.
Yay.
And
up to my own heart.
She is a kick, and she asked me if I wanted to ride up with them. They didn't pick up their tickets yet.
Nice.
And I don't know if I'm going to or not, because I kind of like the idea. I kind of like the freedom of being able to go up and come back whenever I want. But I do appreciate the offer. I mean, it was an incredibly nice offer. So I met her, and then I met this other woman, Stephanie, who sort of organized it. And they're both incredibly nice. I've never done anything like that where you meet up with like people who are fans of something, because normally when I meet up with people who are fans of the same thing I am, I hate them.
Oh my.
Like, I like Kiss, but I hate Kiss fans. It's just really weird. It's like this was Larry's date. Just a lot of this. I'm going up to Reno by myself to Circus Circus. It's festival seating. I figure, you know what? Fuck it. I'll make some friends.
Heck yeah.
I'll hang out and enjoy the show.
You can see free circus acts at Circus Circus.
I could, but I'm going up for the show.
You're not going to gamble or play anything? Yeah, the Circus Circus, they have all the fun carnival games. They're only $1 and you always win.
I don't know. I'm going up. The show's it's an 8 o'clock show on a Saturday. I'm going to go up during daylight hours. Go to the show. I might go out afterward, depending on what's going on there.
You should stay there. It's
I do. I've got a room there.
Okay.
I've got
at
a
room Circus Circus?
Yes. I got a room at Circus Circus for that night, and then I'm coming back the next day. Barring a blizzard. If chain controls go up on I-80, as much as I like the Mike O'Mara show, I am not risking life, limb, and Honda Fit to make it to Reno. I will eat the cost of the ticket and say, c'est la vie, I couldn't make it. That's the way things go.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
But, yeah, so that's that with that. So anyway, been rambling a little bit, but that's okay. It's our last show. What am I going to do, fire you guys?
Shoot.
I like that we're just not really getting on any of our topics. We're just all chit-chatting for our
last show.
It's
kind of like a reunion finale show.
It is, but we do have a few things to get to. I was really light in show prep on this one for this very reason, because I knew we'd shoot the shit for quite a while.
Are we going
to
do favorite memories? Your favorite memory
when you were sitting in that chair with those headphones on.
Remember
that time?
Remember that time when you talked about hobos?
Yes. Remember that time Larry said got here late and said he had to leave early?
Remember that time we talked to Larry over the phone because he had the diarrheas?
Oh, that was the best.
Oh, my God. I was, it was bad.
Yeah, I know.
Y'all, Adam's a very patient dude.
I felt bad for you. We were recording two shows, too. The same thing we're doing is doing this. And, you know, the first time we had you on the phone for a while, we let you go. And the second time, we were just sort of, and you were hanging in there, and you sounded like you felt better. And then all of a sudden, it was like, I got to go right now. You know, we all have that. It's every now and then, hopefully less often than more.
It's scary because I was watching fart fail videos a while ago, and ever since then I've become obsessed that when my stomach does right, if I ever fart, it's going to be a fart fail.
Why? Why would you do that?
I didn't
why would
know
you
the
look
concept
for that?
Of a fart fail. So someone sent it to Adam, and they were all pool ones.
Oh.
And we were going to a lot of pool parties. Like, I feel like I went to a billion pool parties this year. And, like, all I could think about, I literally became worried about it. Every time I was in the pool, if I even felt any movement down there, I was obsessed. Because you know how gross it is if you fart fail in a pool? It's like chocolate diarrhea in the pool.
Oh, yeah. They have to close it and scrub it down.
And so, literally, it's just one of those things. I've never even thought it existed. And then that little thought gets put in your head. And when, you know, when you're so nervous about not doing something, it can happen.
I am so amused. I've never thought about it.
Think about it. If you're in a pool and you think it's a fart and you go, it all comes out, and then a cloud of brownie cloudy stuff goes around you in the pool, and everyone jumps out. And there are ones. There was this girl at like a high school party, and literally she does it, and everyone freaks out.
Well, yeah. Of course they do.
I'm surprised it doesn't happen more in pools.
Where do you search this exactly?
There's a whole series of web pages that do it.
I'm baffled.
It's like E-bomb and all those funny things where they're funny videos.
Like Failblog and Break.com. And yeah, there's all sorts of, I haven't seen the fart fail, but I don't have to know what's going to happen on a fart fail.
Yeah.
It's not like you're going to strain and no air comes out. that wouldn't be funny.
You've never done that. You've never thought you had a fart and it was ended up being a little worse.
I had the opposite. This...
I think I'm going to poop my pants.
This weekend.
Oh, good. It's just a fart.
Right before the show this weekend, I was like, uh-oh, I got to poop really quick. And I ran into the bathroom. And I was like, oh, I hope I... Because once, you know, if you kind of get into that place where you poop, and Brian's like, go really quick. I'm like, I can't. It may not be really quick.
Pressure's on.
So I run in and I'm like, okay, I got to poop. And I just like farted a very satisfying fart. And I was like, I guess that was it.
And it was just a pocket of air.
Yeah, it was just a little air pocket. It was fine.
It was Mel's hot pocket. Did you guys see, because Brian...
The poop fail.
Speaking of Brian Krall, owner of the Sacramento Comedy Spot.
Who has gotten very political.
Yeah, it's funny because...
And very civically minded lately. I think it's just interesting.
Well, it is, but he posted something about the debate, and it was very political and all that. And Brian has long been known to leave his Facebook logged on at the Comedy Spot.
Yes.
And interns would go in under Brian's name and talk, and they would just post stuff like... intern blah 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 is the best ever or something like that. So my comment on his political post was, all right, which one of you interns has hijacked Brian's account?
Oh,
I do it with love. I joke with love, not malice. But this is a guy who is known for making poop jokes on stage constantly, and suddenly he's super politically active and making salient points about stuff out of nowhere.
I give his girlfriend credit.
Yes.
Do you think she's hijacked the page?
I think she makes him watch the debates and pay attention.
She makes him think?
Yeah.
Oh, who wants that?
I know. She's a thinker.
He posted about comedy movie, and so Brian Krall has a man crush on Adam. which is funny to me. And so Adam wrote in his wall, his favorite comedy of all time was the Brian Cross sex leak sex tape, which I forgot he made that sex tape with a snowboard.
With a
video.
Snowboard, yeah.
But what's funny is no one, like, he didn't like it right away. And so Adam was like, did I piss him off? Is that too serious? I was like, no, it's fine.
Is that serious?
It's really hard to piss Brian off.
He just doesn't check his page enough.
Well, he has a really short attention span, too.
Snowboarding!
So there's not, yeah.
He is to snowboarding as I am to glitter.
It's true. It's very true.
Which is a hint for my Halloween costume.
Oh, you're going as Kesha again?
No, I'm not going as Kesha.
Okay.
That was so much glitter to get rid of.
Yeah.
You should have seen the next day when I went to Dad's for brunch. And literally the waiter who knows me was just like, wow, what happened to your face? I was like, it's eyelash adhesive. It's not coming off.
Larry had so much glitter on last year dressed as Kesha. I can only imagine that every time you pooped for like a week afterward, mm-hmm. that it would be like wiping a glittery crevasse.
I had a lot of, like, no joke, for weeks after when I would take a shower, there'd still be glitter coming off. I had to use nail polish remover on a loofah and scrubbing my face, and it still barely came off.
I'm totally not doing Halloween this year. I'm going to be out of town this weekend. And yeah, I might give candy like on Halloween proper.
Halloween, but yeah, I observe traditional Halloween.
If I don't eat all the candy, the problem is the candy's already in the candy bowl and it's going fast.
Yeah.
I don't know about you guys, but I feel like last year it felt like everything was happening on Halloween. This year I feel like there's not as much. Maybe it's just my group of friends. But, like, Rachel and I usually throw a really big...
We all went last year.
We usually have a really big Halloween party, but we're not doing it this year. Both of us were like, we don't really want to do it. So we're going ball crawling, although I have an improv show.
Yeah.
It just seems like... I haven't heard of many people having Halloween parties at all, right?
It's been really quiet. And I blame the election, because I think everybody is super into the election. Now, by the time the show actually airs, the World Series will have started. Of course, the Giants are in the World Series again. That's got a lot of people's attention around here. So there's a lot of stuff going on with that.
I did get invited to a Halloween party that is this weekend. I'm going to be out of town.
Well, la-di-da. Somebody likes Mel.
Yeah. I have a friend.
Must be nice. You know who doesn't have a friend in Sarah Silverman? Rabbi Yaakov Rosenblatt. He's not a fan. In fact, he wrote an open letter to her that basically says not only is he not a fan of her, he's not a fan of, and I'm quoting here, uppity women in general who haven't made marriage and baby making a priority. So I guess that would include you, Mel.
Yeah, he hates me. Another Jew fail.
His letter, published on JewishPress.com, your source for Jew stuff, initially takes issue with Silverman's Let My People Vote campaign for its use of, quote, biblical language. I believe he's talking about the F word. But his argument quickly shifts focus to the comedian's real crimes, focusing on her career rather than marrying and mothering her own brood. He suggests the reason for Silverman's political interests, which he seems to think are new, is the result of her hole in her life that can only be filled by traditional marriage and family.
Oh, God.
Wow.
Here is an excerpt. I think you've latched on to politics because you were searching for something to build. There's only so much pulling down one can do without feeling utterly destructive. You were driven. You were passionate. I pray that you channel your drive and direct your passion to something positive, something that will make you a better and more positive person, something that will allow you to touch eternity and truly impact the world forever. I pray that you pursue marriage, and if you are so blessed, raise children.
Oh, I'm going to vomit.
This is the exact problem I have if I have a problem with really religious people who talk openly about religion, it's that sort of condescension that they have. Now, they're saying it with all sincerity and meaningfulness in their voice and their persona. They don't think they're being condescending, but they are.
You have drive and passion. I hope you use that drive and passion to breed like a good girl.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. It's one of those things. And I've had people say to me say very condescendingly, I'll pray for you. Now, if it's somebody who's religious and they really mean it, like when my mom had her stroke and that she's still recovering from, when she had her stroke, I had people who are religious say, oh, I'll keep you and your family in my prayers. And they're sincere about it. And I have no problem with that. I have no problem with religion in general. I don't care. But if you go out of your way when we're talking about something, whatever, or because I occasionally will use foul language or whatever, and you feel the need to go, I'll pray for you. It's just so fucking condescending. Mm-hmm. And I know you don't necessarily mean it that way, but mm-hmm. it is. So...
I have a story, but I'll wait till you finish.
Okay. So, of course, Sarah Silverman didn't have to respond to this, and she didn't. But her dad did.
Aww.
And here's what Daddy Silverman wrote. "Hey, asshole. Daughter number one is a rabbi. Not by your standards. She's reform. How dare she, a lowly woman thinking God wants her to be a rabbi, created from a mere rib. Her hubby, three times nominated for a Nobel Peace Prize, was listed by the Jerusalem Post as the 49th most influential Jew in the world. He built the world's largest solar field in Israel. By the way, Sarah was also on the list. I missed your name. Oldest granddaughter...
Snap.
Oldest granddaughter is serving in the Israel Defense Forces. I'm sure you also served. Oh, I forgot the Orthodox don't do that. You don't fuck with my family."
I love him.
Oh, yeah. I love Sarah Silverman.
That's her dad. So,
I know. I just love her whole family. I love her. I love it. Love it. Love it. Love it.
So that's Donald Silverman's response. I think that's fantastic. Mm-hmm. I really do. And I don't begrudge anybody their religion, but don't use it as a trudgeon to beat other people down because you think they don't conform to your thing.
Yes. Not to be all gay, but Maryland is one of the states where gay marriage is on the ballot and probably faces the greatest likelihood of passing, which will be enormous.
Gay.
Huge. What is not being talked about, we never talk about gay issues, in the black community, they are strongly against it. Maryland is a very, very diverse population. And so white people are like 84% in favor of it in Maryland, which is unheard of. But they were interviewing this black minister, and the woman said, "You know, sir, you know, can you talk about your opposition to gay marriage?" And he started off by talking things in the Bible. And she's like, "You know, I'm sorry to cut you off, but, you know, what about for those that aren't religious?" And he's like, "Okay, let's take religion out. Gay couples can't have children. The only purpose for marriage is to have children." And so the woman looked and, you know, was kind of taken off guard and said, I forget exactly the wording, but she was like, "I had a hysterectomy. I cannot bear children. Should I not be allowed to get married?" And he got pissed because that argument doesn't have a lot of validity. And he was just like, "You're twisting my word. You're probably one of them. Gay people are selfish. All they want to do is have sex. So we shouldn't celebrate like selfish sex explosions or whatever."
Yeah, do they make hetero people sign like a waiver saying they agree to breed?
"Sorry, if you're 60, you can't get married, because I'm pretty sure a baby's not coming out of that vagina."
Yeah, none of you.
Right. It's just ridiculous, and I'm very curious to see what's going to happen, because the polls are looking good in Washington and in Maryland, which is fantastic, but it just makes me giggle.
Yeah, it's going to be an interesting election time for that and other thing. Now, you brought up gay.
Well, that does... fucking slippery slope. Now I'm thinking of all the people that can't have babies.
Yep.
Yeah, well, barren. It's because God's cursed them.
And this video is making the... I don't know where it's from, but there was a minister who went up in front of city council.
Yep, I put that on my Facebook page.
And was talking about, like, all the reasons that marriage is bad. And, like, it's really... He's a minister, and it looks very real. And people in the audience are like, "Huh?" And I'm like, "Wow, this is weird." But I stayed with it because everyone said it's good. So at the end, he's like, "Oh, wait. Interracial marriage? This is the wrong note. Oh, wait. Oh, no, actually, this is the exact speech that was given when our state was debating if interracial marriage should be illegal. And the only thing I took out was interracial for gay equality."
No, it was segregation. It wasn't interracial marriage. It was segregation. It was the same arguments that preachers were using to defend segregation. And he just went through the whole thing. He changed the wording up until he accidentally left in the thing about segregation being natural. Yeah. And he's right. It's the exact same thing. It's absurd. It's absolutely absurd.
Yeah. And it was funny to see people in the audience, because, you know, they're listening. Like, everyone's like, "Whatever, what's this guy saying?" And then he says segregation. And everyone's like, like, you know how when you're not really paying, you're like, "Did he just say segregation?"
Yeah, it was a city council meeting, so most people weren't paying attention.
Was that a slip? Yeah. It was just really good. I am very, very much looking forward to I'm like to think of myself as politically engaged, but dear Lord, these commercials are out of fucking control. I want to pass a proposition, although I hate propositions, where politicians are not allowed to say their other person's a liar, because that's all these commercials are. And if one more politician talks about jobs, I'm going to fucking lose it, because nothing you can do is going to create jobs. And if you talk to people in a field or outside of a factory and say, it's not about partisan politics, it's about getting jobs, and then a PAC runs a commercial right after you calling your opponent a liar. And if you haven't watched it, the Ami Bera, Dan Lundgren, which I think is getting, it's really close, and I hope Ami Bera pulls it off. There's a commercial which has such subtle racism in it. I need to point it out. They have a picture of Ami Bear talking, and they clearly show his Indian flag because he was speaking at an Indian cultural event. And they clearly show that. So people who are a little like, eh, I don't know, he's not a real American. It's so subtle to me. I'm just annoyed. And Dan Lundgren's such an asshole.
Well, there is nothing subtle about the ads on either side.
No,
really.
That, it's, I mean, all of them are fucktards.
That race is one here in I mean, that's not even in my district. And I mean, I see a Doris Matsui ad. She's my representative. I'm Doris Matsui. I do things for you. Vote for me.
And I don't know why she runs commercials. She's going to win until she dies.
I don't think anyone's running against her.
Crackpot.
Yeah,
everyone loves her husband.
Who's dead.
It's exactly what I said last podcast. Everybody's going to lie. Everybody says what they're going to say.
And I'm ready for the fucking propositions to go away because I can't stand them either. They're all lying. Yeah, and I really am curious to see what's going to happen with the proposition, with the education ones, because I have a problem with how we fund education in California. And both the propositions, Brown and the Molly Mungern one, are ridiculous, in my opinion. And it's insulting to me that we think a state, if you own an $8 million house, you should not be able to pay a 3% property tax based on it. Sorry, it's fucked up. And it asks poor people to pay sales tax on everything, which impacts lower and middle working class families more. Is insulting to me.
And you're talking about Prop 30.
I'm sorry. Those two ads just get me crazy. And there's two of them, and which one passes most votes.
One of them is Proposition 30 in California. And the thing about Proposition 30, and I'm going to get a little wonky here, and I'm sorry, Eric, in Portland and people who don't live in California. In California, the propositions are things that, instead of the legislature passing things, they're put out to a popular vote, which is really fucked up.
Just a really great way to run a state. That's why we're in a fucked up mess.
It's democracy in action. And Prop 30 was put forth. Basically, it raises some taxes, including sales tax. And it was put forth in order to reach a budget agreement, because we still wouldn't have a budget for last year. And if it doesn't pass, there are all of these draconian cuts to things like home health care and education.
Crazy cuts.
And like really, really severe. That's what draconian means. And they're going to go through if this doesn't pass. So I understand the need to get the money to do these things. But when you're holding, it's like holding a hammer over somebody's hand and saying, vote for it or I'm going to break your hand. It really is like, and then there's another one. It's either 36 or 37. I forget which one it is. Mm-hmm. And it's the one, we're going to do this with schools and this doesn't do this. And there's almost no way to find out really. And that's the real problem with propositions, is if you actually want to find out what's going on with them, to find out what these things actually will do and what they will mean is next to impossible. To actually get a straight story about, this is what Prop 30 is. If it goes in, this will happen. If it fails, this will happen. It's next to impossible to get those answers.
Quick snap poll. Do you think either one of the education props will pass?
I think Prop 30 is probably going to pass.
You do?
I do. And the reason I do is because anybody I know who is... Because most of the people I know who are informed are like, vote no on all the props except for... And then they'll pick like one or two that seem to make sense. That's one of the ones that... they are saying yes to. And I think it's one of those things that, because that hammer of those cuts is hanging out there, I mean, you're talking about people who rely on the state for like home health care. You're talking about people who are disabled and their families who rely on that. And that's going, if that goes away, not only does the care go away, the people that fill those jobs will be unemployed, which, you know, we really can't afford that many more unemployed people in California. Yeah.
30 is the better of the two, in my opinion, because it really impacts people that make over $250,000, which is good. I can handle the 0.25 sales tax, but the other measures in Sacramento passed, sales tax is going to be like 10.5%.
Like 9.5%. Yeah, it's going to be pretty high. All right. So
no more politics.
On the flip side, Mel, the stagehand working for a gay pornography company has sued his employers in San Francisco Superior Court. His allegation? That he was forced to inject performers with a controlled drug to prolong their erections.
Gross.
That's right, Mel. We're talking boners. According to the lawsuit, Ronald Baker claims he suffered emotional distress and anxiety-induced health problems when he accidentally pierced his finger in January after injecting a performer in the penis.
I would like to say that he, as in so many cases, he didn't have a problem with doing any of this until he almost got hurt.
Until he stuck his finger.
How long was he doing this without emotional distress or any qualms with the fact that they were doing something horribly illegal until he poked his finger?
What drug was he putting in there?
Trimix. It's something called Trimix. It's a prescription medication used to treat erectile dysfunction.
So you don't have to use as many fluffers and you can do faster take. You
what
know, you can
porn
stay
company
harder,
was
faster.
It? Does it say?
It does. Adult Entertainment Broadcast Network based in North Carolina. He has concerns that he may have contracted HIV because, of course, it's gay porn. And, of course, they would have that. Why wouldn't they? His bosses told him they did not know what to do, according to the lawsuit. When Baker discovered the models did not have prescriptions for Trimix, he refused to administer further injections and violate state law. His paychecks and health benefits were then cut off.
I like that the porn company gives him health benefits.
Well, it's a full-time job. They got to do that. Hey, they're job creators, too. So he's suing for wrongful termination, emotional distress, and violations of labor and professional business codes. To quote, they are injecting a controlled substance into these models without checking with a doctor if it's okay for that person to have the prescription, and they are using people on the set to give the shots. You have to be a nurse in the state of California to give an injection. Now, because Trimix can help maintain an erection for several hours...
I'm surprised this drug's not more popular.
Pornographers consider it a way to keep costs down and cameras rolling. It's not more popular, Larry, because I don't know about you, but I don't want to get a needle in my penis.
You know, I know a fair amount of gay men that would put a needle in their penis if it meant their dick could be harder.
For a longer period of time.
It's why people, I mean, when people do drugs, they always take Viagra or Cialis with it, even though it can make their heart explode.
That's crazy.
Like, if you do coke, most gay guys I know that do coke or meth or other stuff, you take other stuff so your dick stays hard.
Wow. Did not know that.
Because if you're on meth and you're horny, you can have sex for like 35 hours.
See, these are facts that Ted will not be bringing to the table.
No.
Maybe he will. I don't know. I can't judge.
ERs know when people come in because their dicks are so raw because they've had sex or have masturbated for so long, the skin comes off.
Have you ever masturbated so long that you've actually had a little, not necessarily raw, but you've had like a sore spot? Larry's smiling.
The last one.
He's smiling.
That's a yes.
I've had a few occasions with some people, not just myself, like not just me, but with some people where there was so much action, there was damage. It hurt. And then what sucks is like you want to have more, but like it's so painful. It's like a paper cut on your wiener.
Mel, have you ever rubbed it raw, so to speak?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think sometimes you have the just too much sex, so it gets sort of raw internally and sore. But also sometimes if you're sort of doing sort of too much body to body, like mashed up, you'll get that pelvic, like pubic hair to pubic hair, like burn.
And that's why I think women should be completely shaved. Bare floor.
Adam and I were bored, so we went to an adult
bookstore. Some guys think that's like childish. Yeah. Like
I didn't know that
little girly.
I didn't know that Harry Bush porn was a thing.
I don't know.
There's a whole
either.
Section of the place we're at.
It's called old guys. to be completely fair, I'm fine. I have no issue with it on top, like for decoration, but on the undercarriage, I prefer it to be clean. Especially if you want me to perform oral sex, I much prefer a clean area to work off of. I'd like it to be shaved so clean I can eat off of it, so to speak.
Do you pluck any like stray hairs on the shaft of your penis?
I do not. I don't have stray hairs. I do trim. I do trim myself because I think that's only fair. You know, you don't want to go in with uncontrollable man bush.
Yeah, because I don't want hair in my teeth.
No, you don't want that at all. But I mean, I do not shave down there, but I do trim it reasonably short. There you go. Larry's. I love how Larry gets all worried about hair.
I like hair.
It was,
as you can probably tell, I like hair, guys.
There you go. This story was just the weirdest thing I have read, and I have no idea what's going on. But this California mom who couldn't breastfeed her own children says she gets maternal satisfaction by breastfeeding her pet dog.
Yeah.
She did an interview with the UK edition of Closer Magazine, I don't know which one it is. Terry Graham, 44, says nursing her pug, Spider, makes her feel like a better mom. She told the magazine she was devastated when she couldn't breastfeed her daughter, Lisa, who's now 9, and her son, Lucas, who is 2. She said Spider developed a taste for breast milk 2 years ago after he licked the nipple of a bottle she had pumped to feed baby Lucas. She says, and I quote, people might say I'm a freak.
Yep.
Yep.
But having spiders suckle on my boob means I finally feel complete.
I want to know why she couldn't breastfeed her kids but can breastfeed a dog. Just
she had nipple rings in.
You know, it was just squirting everywhere. It was like a sprinkler head. What's going on?
It doesn't make sense to me, any of it.
Have any guys sucking in your nipples produced milk?
No.
No, women don't just spontaneously
produce
milk. I heard,
though, if a guy sucks long enough, milk will come out. Is that true or not true?
Like for 3 days.
If a guy sucks,
serious?
If a guy sucks long enough, blood will come out.
Really? Blood can come out of your nipples?
Yes. If you suck on it long enough and hard enough, you will cause a rupture of something. Yes.
I thought, like,
I've never bled or lactated out of my nipples. That's all
I
know.
Can I try?
Sure.
You need a long weekend to really do it right.
Let's go to Reno.
Let's go to Reno.
Wow.
You can just go up and come back. You don't have to get a room. And there's a picture of this from the British magazine. It almost looks fake, so I don't really know. It's a picture of her holding her pug dog. It's a pug.
So weird.
You notice it's not a Rottweiler or a German Shepherd. It's a pug.
And still, how does she not get bit?
Maybe she likes them.
Dogs don't suck. What would a dog suck on? How do dogs have an instinct to suck at that age?
Well, at that age, I don't know. Puppies do, though.
Well,
puppies
that
suckle.
That ain't no puppy.
No, that is not a puppy. That is a full-grown pug. So, all right. Let's move along here. This is our final edition of the original cast to do.
Cool.
Hey.
Tool.
Whoa. All right. First up in Cooler Tool, and I already know the answer to this, Sarah Silverman's dad.
What's, cool as fuck.
Yeah, he is. I agree. Completely cool.
A freaking man.
Yeah.
Second.
Penis injections to stay hard. Larry, cool or tool?
Not my thing, but I appreciate the effort. Cool.
Mel.
Tool, just because it grosses me out.
Yeah. I appreciate the fact that guys will go to that length to get a boner. And speaking as a guy, women have no idea how much dudes want to just put their penis in things. Straight guys and women, gay guys and other guys, we just want to put our penis in things. Really, I mean, that's what it comes down to.
God bless you.
Can't argue with
it. It's a primordial thing that we have only tertiary control over. It's what drives us. It's our raison d'etre. So, you know, I guess it's cool, only because if you're willing to go to that length, more power to you. And finally, in Cooler Tool, breastfeeding your dog.
Repugnant? Ah, pug! Repugnant.
Well played.
Thank you.
Indeed. Yeah, that's...
Tulio to the max.
Yeah.
And I think it means she loves her children less than her dog.
It's cray-fucking-Z is what it is. Cray-fucking-Z. Cray to the Z, yo. By the way, do you know anybody who says cray? That's just cray.
I say cray cray.
Yeah,
that bitch is cray cray, y'all.
Yeah. Well, what is up with Jason Casey? Is he ready to come out of the closet? What's going on?
I saw him.
Did you?
Yeah, he was out this weekend. He performed with us.
He was out and proud?
Out and proud.
Well, good for him.
He was in town.
I didn't see him. No one told me. I didn't know.
Yeah. Oh, maybe it was not this past weekend, the weekend before.
Oh, okay.
I think it was the weekend.
Yeah.
Probably. This is a fun story.
How late? I feel like we've been doing this forever. What? How long?
Well,
have
we did
going?
Two shows tonight. No. We've got two quick things, and then we're out of here. Yeah, yeah. If you'd like your own plot of land and your own little corner of heaven, or Manitoba, you can get land in a town in southwestern Manitoba. For only $10. Reston, Manitoba, population 550. It was founded as a railway point for the Canadian Pacific Railway. And right now there's a mini oil boom happening in Manitoba, and they're hoping to capitalize by luring businesses and families. And they've put 24 lots of sale up for $10 each. So
it's a bargain.
$10. Would you buy a plot of land?
No, I feel like South Dakota and Montana tries this every once in a while.
It's further north than that.
I know. Case in point. No.
There is a catch to it, though.
You have to be a member of their sexy cult.
That would be a good catch. But basically, if you want to buy a lot, you have to put down a $1,000 down payment, and then you have to follow through with the deal within a year. And if you don't, you will lose the down payment. If you do, the municipality will refund the $990 once your construction is done and an occupancy permit is issued. So it's $10 for the land, but you have to put $1,000 up front, and you have to build a dwelling of some sort, and you have to get a permit that says, I am an occupant at said dwelling, and then they'll give you back $990. So it's kind of a scam to get talked about on podcasts and such. Screw you, Manitoba. Take that.
I would just want to be able to send my $10 and be like, I own a little bit of Manitoba.
It would be, but it doesn't work that way. They would need $1,000 up front. And right now, the Canadian dollar is on par with the American dollar, which disturbs me no end. It really does.
Because
the Canadian dollar should be worth less than the American dollar. Mm. That's what I'm saying.
The American dollar is pretty good for other countries now, especially in Europe, if you're looking to travel, people.
But not Canada.
Or buy futures.
Not Canada right now. And you know, I remember when the Canadian dollar was worth like 60 cents. Mm. It was like 60 cents. And I remember saying to somebody, and I didn't have any money at this point. I remember saying to somebody, I go, you know, that would be a really good investment. Just buy a bunch of Canadian money and hold on to it for like 5 or 10 years because it's going to come back. And
except it's really tricky.
And they were like, no, that won't happen. It's never going to happen. It's never going to get above like 72. Yeah, it's even now. So if you would have if you would have put some money in Canadian money, you would have made a pretty significant profit, like 40% profit.
You would have been taxed really bad.
Depends on how you do it.
Unless you do it in very small increments and go to the exchange, like with, I have $210. Mm.
There's ways to do it. You can get around it. So anyway, that's it. We're going to wrap up with small town news.
Oh, yay!
I don't know. I don't even know if I should sing the song one last time or if you, I should just.
You can do it, Mel. You can do it.
I'm sad.
It is. It's the end of. It's an end of an era, so to speak.
I'll do it slow.
Okay.
Small town news. Small town news. Everybody loves that small town news.
That was like the blues. I like it.
I was doing it a cappella. Yeah.
We and small town news brought to you by our Amazon page at natedarlingshow.com. Please, if you're going to shop Amazon anyway this holiday season, go to natedarlingshow.com. Click the Amazon banner, and we get a little support from them, and you get the same low prices. You won't notice any difference, actually, except it helps us out. So it's a little bit less for the big man and a little bit more for the little man. Helps keep the show afloat, and we appreciate everybody who's done that so far, including Mel, who's done a lot of shopping on Amazon. So, as have I, and anybody who's done it, we appreciate the fact that you have.
Mel, were you the one that bought the super absorbent extra large maxi pad?
I don't bleed and tell.
Oh, I think that was Eric.
Nice. He bought something that was red. Yes, I know that. All right, small town news. This is comes from the editorial pages of Mel's favorite paper, the Press Republican.
Nah.
And Susan Tobias, the woman of silence, writes, I receive emails from a lot of different sources, some welcome, some not. You emailed her, didn't you?
Mm-hmm.
Some are so funny, I have to share them with our readers. The most recent one is entitled, Men Can Fix Anything.
Yeah.
My disclaimer, some men can fix anything, but don't count women out of that equation. Sometimes the women get tired of waiting for the men in their lives to fix the broken stuff, and they go ahead and fix it themselves. I can attest to that. Anyway, this email has pictures of a variety of broken things and the way men fix them. Take the guy who needed a grill to cook steak over his outdoor fire pit. He simply turned a metal grocery cart on its side, strategically placed a side panel over the fire, and before you know it, he had medium rare steaks.
Hot diggity dog.
Meow.
Or how about the guy who didn't have a front wheel for his bicycle? He found a grocery cart and attached the front wheel.
Grocery carts are like duct tape.
Forks of the bike to the cart. Down the road he went. Not a problem. Need to fix a lot of people, a lot of hot dogs, your next picnic? Grab a metal leaf rake, put your hot dogs on each end of the tine, and quick as a rabbit, you have hot dogs cooked over the outdoor fire. Smart, sure, got the job done. Yeah, except you're cooking your hot dog on a fucking rake.
It would have to be sterilized.
I'm pretty sure they didn't sterilize the rake.
It's in fire, it's fine.
Yeah, I mean, if you burn it first, everything burns off.
And now, in the not-so-sure-you-should-do-that category, is the man who needed hot water for his shower. He mounted a 20-gallon hot water heater on the wall over the tub, rigged the water pipes, ran an extension cord from the sink to the heater, and plugged it in the hot water heater. There's no proof the man is still alive to talk about his invention. In a strange sort of way, some of these answers to problems border on genius. A guy without air conditioning in his old Lincoln rigged a house air conditioner to the back window of his car, mounted to generator in the trunk, and enjoyed the cool air. Not sure if he drives the car or lives in it. The guy who didn't have a lawn sprinkler simply punched holes in a 2-liter soda bottle, weighted it down, and hooked it up to his hose. Voila! A lawn sprinkler that any homeowner would be glad to use, and it's green.
Good Lord.
I know. Then there's the guy who brought the secondhand split-door refrigerator with no shelves on the door. He fashioned layers of that oh-so-famous duct tape and made shelves. They worked, according to the picture. His duct tape invention rivaled the guy who didn't have a real mailbox, so he duct taped a large jar to the mailbox post. Or the one who duct taped a 2x4-inch lumber to his extension ladder to paint his stairwell with a 14-foot ceiling.
Don't you just want to slap her and run? I just want to shove her.
We're almost there. My late father-in-law was famous for his duct tape repairs. He once passed along an older black Cadillac to us, complete with duct tape holding the rubber door seals. Worked for him, so we just left it alone. Never had a leak. So you see, ladies, men can fix just about anything. Just give them a roll of duct tape, a little encouragement, and you never know what will happen. He may just invent something new and end up on the Home Shopping Network. And of course, as she ends every article, one last thought. As always, please be kind to each other. The world needs more kindness.
Okay, Jerry Springer.
It's true.
It is true. And I picked her out just for you, Mel, because I know how you love the opinion pieces from the Press Republican.
I am going to write them a letter.
Ooh, an old-fashioned one with a stamp and everything?
Mm-hmm, an old-timey letter telling them to shut the hell up.
Why can't you charge for your stuff? Anyway, that's going to do it. Show number 70.
70.
I'm going to miss you guys in billions.
Bye, you guys.
Yeah, we're going to miss you guys, too. Actually,
Hey, thanks everybody for listening to us. If we don't say thank you, we should thank you more often.
Thank you, everyone. Thank you to Eric for being our number one Portland fan.
Yeah.
Thank you for others who are also very nice people.
Yeah, thank you to everybody who's listening. And remember, the show is going to be here next week and the week after that and the week after that. Just no Larry and Mel. We'll have them back
every
now and then.
Give the new people a chance, y'all.
Yeah. Hey, Brian at Camone, keep listening. He wrote me a very sad email that he was going to miss me because it feels like we hang out.
Well, he'll get to hang out with new people.
Yeah.
Brian at Camone, I have to tell you, anytime someone talks about sushi, I say that my friend Brian owns Camone Sushi and they should go. So if anyone goes up and is like, do you know Larry? I'm convinced people do this and your waiter's like, who the fuck is that?
Yeah, his waiters are like, do you have Groupon? Get out of here.
Happy almost birthday, Brian, since we share the same birthday.
There you go.
Yay.
Yeah, so everybody
I'm
who's...
I'm going to miss everybody a lot. I'm going to cry now.
It's a sad day, but it's a new day.
So. A new day has come. A new day has come. Thank you.
You're going to miss that, aren't you?
Please enjoy the musical stylings of Mr. Larry T.
So anyway, yeah, please keep listening if you've been listening, because we're going to keep putting out a good show. And by we, I mean me, Ted, and Christiana.
Keep dreaming and reaching for the stars.
And Mel will be back in a couple of weeks.
Yeah, so keep listening and you'll hear me again.
Yeah, Mel will be back. We'll have Larry back every now and then to talk about gay stuff. And
gay
stuff with Larry.
And if you guys have questions or want to check up on us, just send Nate your questions and then he'll bring us in and we'll answer all your questions.
Yeah, we can do that. Ooh, and I almost forgot, and I'll put that in the show description. We have a phone number where people can call and leave voicemails now, and I'll be playing those back on the show.
I'm gonna call all the time with the messages.
Yeah, absolutely. So you guys can call and leave a message.
I'm gonna leave in different voices though, like this. I like those French fried taters.
Yeah, them French fried taters in there.
I like those French fried taters.
French fried
I had to
taters.
See that movie because they made fun of it on Saturday Night Live and I had no idea why it was funny.
Yeah.
I never saw Sling Blade until I saw Amy Poehler saying, those like those French fried taters. And I thought it was a character she created until someone told me.
Yeah, it's not really a funny movie.
No, at no. All.
So anyway, thank you, Mel and Larry. This last year and 3 months of doing the show, this last 70 shows, literally has meant the world to me. I appreciate
it. It was fun, everybody.
I appreciate everything that you guys have done, and I love you guys. You guys are my friends, and I do appreciate it. So thank you. Everybody else, I'll see you next time on the Nate Darling Show. Have a good one.
Bye. Later, Taters!